Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and we're at 97.9 FM WCHL. And in this segment, we are delighted to have with us the Executive Director of the Stroud Roses Foundation, Eileen Farrell, and the President of our Board of Stroud Roses, Lisa Stuckey. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
And in the full disclosure mode, let me say that I'm a member of this board, a proud member of this board. So we have worked together and hope to share with you during this segment a lot of the information about this amazing organization in our community. Stroud Roses, sort of two names, but important. How did Stroud Roses come about? And why don't you take that start with that, Eileen?
Sure. So Stroud Roses is a nonprofit charitable foundation that got its start through a relationship that the Strouds, Irene and Jean, had with a local law firm in town, Alexander Miller and Shoup. They worked with them to figure out their will, but also what they wanted to do with their money once they passed away. And back in the late 80s, Jean had a vision to create a community rose garden in Chapel Hill.
And he was a very, very dedicated and enthusiastic rose grower.
He was. He was actually president of the Chapel Hill Rose Society and a local businessman. He was co-owner of Johnson, Stroud, and Ward Furniture Company.
And I hope there's still some listeners around in the community who remember that, because we don't have furniture for sale much anymore.
We don't.
Locally.
No, I got here in 1978, and I well remember the store here in Chapel Hill. I'm not sure I ever went in it, but I certainly went by it many times.
And you were a young girl, but you could read the signage, right?
Yes, I could. Actually, as a graduate student.
Oh, come on. You couldn't. Not in 78.
Yes.
Okay. But Jean Stroud loves roses.
He loved roses and was known for planting roses throughout Chapel Hill. So the first vision he had was to create this community rose garden, and it was formally dedicated back in 1990. It's located where the Chapel Hill Community Center is off of South Estes Drive.
And there's a big playground there, too, and
it's a fantastic playground.
Bowling Creek Trail ends there.
Yes. So it's about across the street from the Chapel Hill Post Office for folks who may not be familiar with it. But the garden was dedicated back in 1990, shortly before Jean passed away. And after he passed, Irene worked with the law firm to figure out, okay, well, now what's next? And she decided to start a foundation through her bequest. And the goal of the foundation was to give back to Chapel Hill Carrboro. And it's been active in giving grants to nonprofit organizations and individuals that benefit Chapel Hill Carrboro since 2001. So we're actually celebrating our 15th anniversary.
And we'll talk about that too, because I think that's an important milestone to mark, that we've gotten to year 15 of being a foundation. Unlike most in this community. And I know, Lisa, you probably felt like I did when you came on the board, that you'd served on other boards where you spent time raising money, and now all of a sudden you're giving it away, and you say, oh, this is going to be easy. What happens when you get on a board and you have to give away money? What did you learn first?
Well, it is not easy, although it is a wonderful experience to be a member of the Stroud Roses board. But we have three cycles each year where we receive grant applications. We get probably between 25 and 35 applications, most cycles.
And they all have to be 501c3s?
Yes.
In the Chapel Hill Carrboro?
Yes.
Or predominantly serve Chapel Hill Carrboro?
That's correct. We are, I think, the only foundation that is really focused on the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. And so the board reviews the applications that come in, and we fund some of them, not always all of them, and we determine how much money each organization will get. And it is hard. It's very hard. Your heart is pulled in all directions, because generally everything people are trying to do here is wonderful and motivated by the most altruistic desires to make our community a better place.
Yeah. So, and we'll get back to that process a little bit. But when you have a goal of helping in a community And we have so many different organizations that are looking for help. I guess it's fair to say some need it to operate and some need it for specific projects. Is that a good characterization?
That's correct. I think we get a pretty good mix. And I think that's something else that makes Strad Roses unique in that the board and the foundation are open to a lot of different proposals that we might get. So the board may decide to support a capital campaign or operating expenses or programmatic expenses.
And we've done some special projects like that youth project and the one with the school off-the-shelf support programs that we did in conjunction with UNC. What was that? School of Social Work and Education. Mm-hmm. So it's not just organizations that are looking to help fund a specific project or operate for another year.
Mm-hmm. For many organizations during the recession, I think that's where the uptick in operating support came to play. And it's still the case for a lot of the nonprofits are very strapped for support for operating expenses because it's kind of sort of a trend in the foundation world where less and less of the foundations are supporting operating and really want to fund programs instead. So I think that's something unique that the board and the foundation can offer to the smaller organizations in particular that may not be able to find money to support rent or salaries or internet and things like that.
And many of the grants help to get organizations off the ground in the first place, small grants. We have a lot of what I call kitchen coffee foundations where somebody's sitting around the kitchen drinking coffee and says, we need to do something about that. And next thing you know, they've gotten some other friends together and they're doing wonderful things in the community, became 501c3 tax-exempt organizations, and then they put together a board and off they go. Table, porch, those are great examples of organizations where people had an idea, didn't think anybody else was doing it. So let's, you know, get out there and put together an organization that can do that. And, oh, by the way, where do we get some money? And there's not many people you can go to. You know, when you think about it, foundations usually want to see a track record. So you're asking organizations to try to survive with very little resources except from their friends and family. Well, look, we're going to have to stop and take a break. It's already that time. And we'll be right back with the Stroud Roses Foundation. And this is Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase. And this is your host, Fred Black. And we have with us Eileen Farrell and Lisa Stuckey, who are with the Stroud Roses Foundation. And Lisa's president of our board. And Eileen is our executive director. Now, you became executive director after a board member retired who'd been doing this job. When you took on the job, what did you think, Eileen?
Oh, I was thrilled. I was stepping into some very big shoes. Jennifer Boger is still very involved with some of our local nonprofits as a board member and as a donor for many organizations here. So I did not take the transition lightly. But the way I had heard about the position was actually through two nonprofits that are local that I used to work for. So I felt a very strange experience when I went into the office to get some of the files and photographs and CDs and things like that from the law firm. And I was handed a photograph of the graduating class of public service scholars from the Carolina Center for Public Service. And I said to Vicky, the secretary, the legal assistant of the law firm, oh, my gosh, I brought this picture to Jennifer when I worked at the Center for Public Service. So
full circle.
Things have really come full circle. And I still run into former coworkers or former students that I've worked with that were interns at nonprofits at the time that are now heading up nonprofits and working in many different organizations throughout town. So it's an incredible honor to be able to be in this position, knowing that it has its history of very, very committed board members who have a couple of them have been involved from the very beginning. So yes, it was intimidating, but also exhilarating to know that.
And it got real fun fast.
Yeah, and then I came home again. That's really what it felt like.
So when an organization turns in a grant proposal, you're the first to see it.
Yes.
Then what happens?
So I do the initial review of each application and the supplemental materials that nonprofits will turn in. And if it looks like there's any questions that I anticipate the board may have about impact numbers or mission, or if there's something
missing. If they don't explain, for example, right, how people in Chapel Hill Carborough benefit.
Exactly. So I'll ask for more data or more information to make sure that we have as much as a clear picture of what that organization does before the board reviews the application. So I would say that I do the initial pass-through for the first week after the deadline, and then after that I pass along all the information to the board.
So what happens, Lisa, when you get that big file that Eileen sends us?
Well,
by the way, we have one coming up, right?
Yes. And I'm actually proud to let everyone know that we've gone digital, most of us, if not all of us.
We're not killing a forest every time we have a meeting.
Right. We have moved from the big booklets to a file, and I find some quiet time to sit down. As I said before, we generally get between 25 and 35 applications in a cycle, and there are three funding cycles a year for us. And I sit there with a pad of paper and my iPad, and I review the applications, make notes, and sort of think. Come up with questions if there are things that I don't understand about what the
disconnects in the narrative,
right?
Or whatever.
What they're trying to accomplish, or any of the information that doesn't make sense to me. Those questions get passed along to Eileen, and then she sends them to the organization so that they can respond before we meet.
I remember one application, a bunch of us had the same question. They had something like $80,000 on their balance sheet, and they were looking for 10. What's going on here? And you got the answer. That money was set aside for something that was coming, but it was still just sitting there. Rather than identify that, they left it up to us to ask the question, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing that you want to know.
Often I go to the website. If the organization has a website, I take a look. And I usually review the materials again right before our meeting, mm-hmm, so that it's fresh in my mind.
So when you call us in session and then we get to the part where we start doing organizations, it's sort of everybody throws out a stream of consciousness about how they reacted to it, and then you call for a vote, right? And
that's correct.
And
yes,
we decide on our amount of money. Eileen, I had a nonprofit executive director say to me once that one of the things they really appreciated about Stroud Rose's process that you oversee is that you didn't have to be a professional grant writer to make an impact. Talk about that a minute, if you would.
Again, I think that's what is unique about Stroud Rose's and the board behind it. Oftentimes you'll hear from nonprofits that they need to regurgitate data out of the latest national journal related to whatever issue they address through their nonprofit organization, or really struggle with the data part of what foundations look for. Stroud Rose's definitely looks at data and looks at budgets with the understanding of these are local nonprofit organizations
who can't often hire somebody
exactly,
to be a professional grant writer.
Are knowledgeable about best practices related to nonprofits, but don't necessarily need to regurgitate information mm-hmm. from journals and things like that. So as long as the board has the information they need to make an informed decision, I think we can look past that grant application may not be professionally written.
Yeah, but it's also fair to say that sometimes you can look at them and see who's done this before.
Definitely.
And who might just be venturing out for the very first time.
And I view that's part of what my role can be, is an organization can definitely send me the draft application ahead of time. I can look at
it. Or any of us on the board.
Exactly. The board members are all very connected.
And we make recommendations and
mm-hmm.
say, you might want to explain.
Exactly.
Whatever.
So that's sort of what I do through that first pass through, say, I think it would behoove you all to make sure that you do include this data, or I know this about your organization, but it wasn't made clear in your application.
Exactly.
And then you making sure it's as strong as it possibly can be before the board needs to evaluate it.
Right. And then we make a decision, you send a check, and then what does the organization do after? the process.
Typically, the organization has a year to spend down their grant funds. So once the year is over, they submit what's called a one-year grant accounting form that essentially reminds us of what the purpose of the funds were and what their outcomes were from that particular project. If it was for operating expenses, they give us a snapshot of what their year looked like, along with budget information about how those funds were spent.
And you know, too, Lisa, from other experiences in your community life, that everything you fund doesn't necessarily equal success.
That's right. And it's interesting how I think straightforward most of the organizations are about how their year went. Occasionally we have a group that will say it didn't go as planned, or
and here's what happened, and here's what we learned.
And here's what we learned. Yeah, which is
that's fine.
In itself a good outcome.
Well, look, I'm going to have to cut you off again, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Nonprofit Showcase and your host, Fred Black. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, 97.9 WCHL. And this is your host, Fred Black, with Eileen Farrell, who's the executive director of the Stroud Roses Foundation, and Lisa Stuckey, who is our board president. And we are going to make this a two-part show, and if you join us again next week, you'll hear more from these two wonderful ladies about some big events that are coming up. But we were just talking about the different kinds of organizations and how you follow through with the grant, what do we call it, the assessment after they have had their money for a year. And Lisa, sometimes people don't spend all their money, right?
Yes. Occasionally we get folks who ran into some issue that was unanticipated. And usually they come back to us with a request to be allowed to spend the money in a slightly different way. That still is carrying on the goals that they had brought to us originally.
And so, and the board's pretty happy to see somebody doing something useful.
Right. Usually the board is pleased to let them use it. But occasionally organizations sometimes just run into trouble and occasionally return the money, although that is fairly
very rare.
Yeah.
Eileen, we have a variety of organizations that I want you to talk about. But what makes the Public School Foundation a unique organization for us?
So that is the one organization that meets with us in person one time a year. Back when the foundation first got started, the board was receiving applications from teachers, from counselors, from principals, from PTAs in both Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and decided that probably the best use of time and funds would be to work directly with the Chapel Hill Carrboro Public School Foundation. So we've been offering them a block grant every year where they administrate the proposal process and decide who should receive funds, specifically the funds given to them by Stroud Roses.
And so they handle that internally instead of us doing $50, $100 grants or whatever.
And, exactly. And if I could just interject, I think one of the great things about letting them handle it is that they vet it through the curriculum folks. And so there is some assurance that the money is being used really in really beneficial ways for the school district, ways that we wouldn't know how to assess. Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it much more impactful for them. How do you categorize the other organizations, Eileen?
So the Public School Foundation, just as an example of our involvement with them, to date we've awarded about $440,000 just to the Public School Foundation, and that makes up for about 8% of the funds that they've contributed to school programs. So I would say most of the school-based programming is handled through our grants to the Public School Foundation, but there are many other youth-serving organizations
social
that serve immigrants, organizations
education
that serve the aging population, the environment, animals, arts and culture. We have a lot of incredible music organizations based out of Chapel Hill and Carrboro that we support. So just to give you an idea, we definitely do fund startup organizations like Table or Porch or even Orange County Living Wage. But we have also invested lots of funds in organizations that have been around for a very long time.
Yeah, and we've done gardens.
Yes.
They became very popular. Well, look, we're going to have to stop. But fortunately, we're going to have a show next week that will air at this same time slot. So join us again to hear more about Stroud Roses with Lisa Stuckey, the board president, and Eileen Farrell. And this is Fred Black. Have a good one.